This show is brought to you by Podditize, podcast hosting and done-for-you production services that get you heard by more of your ideal listeners. Visit podditize.com to book a free strategy call. That's podditize.com. Welcome to Pod Tease. Each week, we'll grant your wish. We'll surprise and delight you with binge-worthy podcasts that are sure to become your new favorites. Our hand-picked selection of changemakers, rebels, do-gooders, educators, funny makers, and more will make their way onto your new and noteworthy list. Do you have a show that you think needs to be featured? Check out our show notes for your chance to be our next Pod Tease. Are you ready for a good one? I'm Karina, one of your co-hosts, and today we're continuing our journey into podcasts that can support your mental health, your growth, and your development. We started this week introducing you to Sherapy Sessions, a podcast dedicated to helping people in toxic families set clear boundaries, and in some cases, even saying goodbye to those toxic family members. Now it's time to connect about the nearly opposite situation, in which someone you love with your whole heart and being is taken from you too soon. I invite you to fall in love with my business besties' flagship podcast, Obsessed with Humans on the Verge of Change, as she dives deep into the topic of loneliness and loss with her co-host, the amazing and beautiful Tia Walden. This episode is one of many focusing on the emotions defined in Brené Brown's latest book, Atlas of the Heart. In this episode, they talk about loneliness, connection, and processing the biggest loss you can imagine. This podcast, in its whole self, in its everything, is about stepping into your strength, rising to your best self, and growing with community. It's one of my favorites, and I'm not just saying that because it's led by Jules. She'd like me to say that I'm obsessed with obsessed. So there it is. Jules, I'm obsessed with obsessed. So kick back, snuggle in, and get ready to fall in love with Tia Walden, Julie Loken, and the Obsessed Podcast. Let's mix it.
I've had that feeling where I wouldn't wish what I'm going through on my worst enemy. Let alone the people I love, to truly know what I'm feeling felt really scary.
Welcome to Obsessed. Think of us as your personal development entourage, all wrapped up into one podcast. We get it. We're all on journeys. We're all looking to do life just a little bit better. So we deliver the experts straight to your earbuds so that you will understand and become a true believer that your life is meant for more. So get ready to learn the tools you need to elevate this experience called life. Get obsessed with your life, just like us. We are Tia, Mika, and Jules, and we're obsessed with humans on the verge of change. Hey, obsessors, this is Jules, and this is a very special episode. This episode is not only about loneliness, it is about the love, the enduring love of two sisters. Our co-host, Tia Morell Walden, shares her story of loneliness after the passing of her sister, Shelby Sandel. Shelby went too soon. Shelby was the beloved daughter of Tim and Jody, mother to two precious little babies, Talon and Paxton. Our hearts go out to Shelby's family. This is a story that you need to hear. Obsessors, we're talking loneliness today, and there is a loneliness epidemic as we speak. And as you know, we are continuing our series on the 30 core emotions inspired by our girl, Brené Brown. And Brené describes loneliness as really and truly at the heart of loneliness is the absence of meaning, social interactions. It is the absence of intimate relationships, and it's the absence of friendships, family gatherings, or even community or work connections. And I have felt a deep sense of loneliness, especially over the past 2 years. And I'm here with the gorgeous Tia Morell Walden talking loneliness. And it's, I guess it is a sad topic as I process it, because there is a difference between loneliness and choosing to be alone. Hey, Tia.
Hi, Jules. I think that it can be a sad topic, but it's also an important one, right? We need to be able to identify when we are feeling lonely versus when we are alone or needing that solitude time with ourselves. Because if we aren't able to identify that this, what I'm experiencing, is true loneliness, then how can we work on it to build those connections that we desire, have that belonging with the people that are close to us, and find that connection to really come out of that loneliness stronger and in the way we want to, and build that resilience.
And T, when I spoke of my dabble within the loneliness realm, and I felt it recently because I feel I do have connections, I do have friendships, but I don't feel like there is a sense of belonging anywhere. Will people remember me when they're doing something, or will they think of me when I am not in their space proximity? And it is this immense sense of disconnection that I have felt.
I can relate to that disconnection. I know that for me, in the last few months of going through the grief process of losing my sister and trying to reconnect with myself of where I'm at and who am I without this extremely important person in my life, has felt so lonely. And it's not something that I even understood or something that I was really aware of until recently. And what's really helped me is being able to find language to use and being able to articulate my loneliness with the people around me, because I was honestly afraid to tell my husband or my family, my parents, that I feel lonely in this, because I didn't want them to feel like they've been doing something wrong. And in reality, they have done nothing wrong. They have been as supportive as they can be, and I'm so grateful for that. But it still doesn't take away the fact that going through grief can be extremely lonely, because nobody knows the connection that I had with my sister other than me and her. And that other person that knows it is no longer here. And so being able to invite those people close to me into the grief that I'm feeling has been really vulnerable and extremely hard to do. I was talking to my therapist this last week about the loneliness that I feel, and using imagery around it was really helpful for me. I was able to explain, like, when I feel this immense, deep loneliness, it really feels like it's just me in this dark room with nobody around. There's no doors, there's no windows, there's no light coming in. It's just me sitting by myself. And she was able to ask me, like, how did you get into that room? Like, if there's no doors, there's no windows, how did you get in? And I was able to stop and, like, really think about it. And there must have been a door, right? There must have been a door for me to get in that room. And then she asked the important question of, where do I fit in? Am I in that room with you? And being able to reflect on that, I was able to understand more of how I can invite those close people into this room, into this darkness, into this loneliness that I feel, to work on those connections that I'm desiring, and to work on that connection with myself, to figure out who I am in this new season, who I am in this massive change that I didn't see coming, I didn't ask for, and that, in all honesty, I just would rather not have lived through, right? And by taking the time to understand that there are some type of doors, and how can I open those doors, figuratively speaking? How can I invite people in and talk about it more? And that's by ending the stigma around loneliness, letting the people know around me that they've done nothing wrong. They're not actually contributing to my loneliness in this circumstance. That may not be true for all people in all circumstances, but I know with the loneliness of grief and the loneliness that I have felt, that it is something that I have sheltered myself. I've kind of closed myself off from allowing people to come in because of that. I've had that feeling where I wouldn't wish what I'm going through on my worst enemy, let alone the people I love, to truly know what I'm feeling felt really scary. But how can we combat that loneliness if we don't tell the people that we love what we're going through? And it's kind of that internal battle of, how do I invite you in to sit with me to know that we can't fix this situation, but we can sit together and have a deeper connection that's going to make my health in the long run better and help us become on a deeper connection so we are able to know where each of us plays a role in this too. Because I think that the connection with self plays an integral role in our connection with others, right? We can't truly connect with the people around us if we're not connected to ourselves.
Those are some really profound statements that you just made. And obsessors, as Tia alluded to, she has been through hell, and I'm not going to say back because I'm not sure you ever get back by losing her sister, Shelby, who will always be her best friend. And it is unimaginable. And the aftermath, the grief, the loneliness that you speak of, the loss of connection, you are surrounded by so many people, and yet you feel so alone. First of all, I'm glad that you have this therapist. And I love that analogy of the dark room. The dark room where, how did you even let her in? How did you even get into this dark room? And where do you go from there? Have you done more work with her in terms of this dark room? Because I think that is such a useful tool, such a useful tool.
I really think it was a useful tool as well, because I think that the visual effect of loneliness really does help me personally understand how I can invite people in. Because I think prior to the experience I'm going through now, when I pictured loneliness, I pictured, like, you know, that loner in a crowded lunchroom sitting by himself, or that loner at a party sitting in the corner who's choosing not to engage.
The Unabomber.
Right. Or like the criminal who just, like, you don't understand their wavelengths and thinking, but that's not always true. Loneliness hits all of us on different levels and for different reasons. And I don't have the answers of how do I fully get out of this loneliness besides continuing to talk about it, continuing to open up to the people that love me and the people that deserve to be opened up to. I don't think that this is something that you will need to open up to everybody necessarily, but the people that deserve it, who have earned your trust and who have been there, it's something that you need to continue talking about to bridge that gap of the connection that you're lacking to feel less lonely. And at times, it just is lonely. I think that there doesn't have to be a fix for it, especially when it's somebody like a loss. When it does feel like you're going through it alone, like it was only her and I growing up. There wasn't other siblings that I can talk to about it with now. It was just the two of us. And that's a kind of loneliness that can't be fixed, but I can learn how to carry forward through the other connections that I'm making with my friends, my family, my husband, my co-host on podcasts.
I consider you a friend too. No, and it is about that connection. And I don't know, how do you force yourself to connect when you're not there? I mean, of course, you are suffering. I'm putting words into your mouth, but you have, I am sure, a sense of huge depression, adjustment depression, if you will, because who wouldn't be in a depressive state? How do you force yourself? Do you fake it till you make it? Or do you push yourself into situations where you know you have to connect with people? What is that connection, that wire to connect you with people when you don't even feel like connecting with anybody?
Oh man, I have tried the fake it till you make it. That didn't work for me. I recall a very specific scenario where I agreed to go to someone's football party, and I instantly walked in the house and I forgot how to be in a social setting. I completely shut down. I didn't even feel like I was there. I can't even remember exactly what happened because it was so traumatizing on some level. And not forcing yourself to get into those situations before you're ready is so important. You need to do your inner work, sit with yourself, really acknowledge and give yourself the grace that this is going to be hard. You are going to have to relearn how to do most things in your life again. And you don't need to be hard on yourself, because if you are, it makes it way, way, way more hard on everything in your life. And even when you do try to fake it, the conversations you have are so surface level. They're not deep connections. They are very mundane. How's the weather? What did you eat today? Like, there are things that just aren't, they're not actually building that connection that is going to help cure in ways that loneliness. It's all about listening to yourself. And on some days, even now, some days I don't feel like connecting with people, and I respect that. I will look at my schedule, see what I have going on, and schedule in time for more meditation, schedule in time just to read a book or take a bath, do the things that I can do on my own that feel like solitude time versus loneliness. Because I think there is a big difference between the two. Choosing to do the inner work and do it by myself is way different than feeling lonely in a crowded room, right?
Right. And I mean, you can feel less lonely by watching a lot of Netflix, but that's not a real connection, because Tia did tell me that she did like to watch funny shows on Netflix a lot, which is understandable. And rewind, a couple months ago, I flew out to Minnesota just to visit with Tia for a day, and I saw it on her face that there was a disconnect, which is completely normal. And you can't pull people out of this sense of loneliness. You can't. You can just be there and listen and sit by their side and hope and pray that eventually they will want to connect again. But Tia, what you're doing right here, sharing your story of your loss, let me tell you how many people you're connecting with right now. And I don't see any bigger tribute to your sister as it stands where we are right now than what you're doing and being brave enough to even speak of this loneliness. And Tia also mentioned that it's very different being alone versus the sense of loneliness. Being alone is a good thing, because we all need to be self-aware. We all need to be self-aware so we can find our people to belong with, to be a part of a community. And that doesn't mean changing yourself. And as Tia has been forced into a reevaluation of her life over the past 4 months, you know, she is a different person, and she will be connecting with different people and on a path that she never expected, but I know it's going to be life-changing for her. Thoughts about that, T? Are you ready for some big changes in the future?
I think that change is, it's a part of life that none of us can escape, as much as we would want to or wish that we could escape it. We can't escape changes. And since losing my sister, I have gone through many more changes that we're not completely ready to talk about yet, but they've been life-altering within themselves. And it's shocking to me to even think about, like, it's only been 14 weeks since I lost my sister. Like, that is an infant, right?
That seems like, it seems like so much longer. I don't know why.
It does. It feels so much longer because so much has happened in that short period of time. And something I have to remind myself is, I would never look at a 14-week-old baby and be like, get it together. Why aren't you doing better? Why aren't you walking yet? Why aren't you running? Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you talking better? Like, you don't do that. And so when you're going through these profound changes that make you lead to that loneliness feeling, give yourself the grace and understanding that it takes time. My experience of this tomorrow is going to be different. My experience of this next week is going to be different. Years down the line, it's always going to be ever evolving, and it's going to be changing with me as I change and grow. And really being able to stop and surrender to that change has really been important to my growth process in all of this. Having to take the time to slow down and use my time in solitude and meditate more often and really surrender to the moment has been so important, because thinking about the future can feel so overwhelming. It doesn't feel like you can always get out of that loneliness when you think of the future, but if you take it step by step, breath by breath, it starts to become more manageable and you can take that step forward. Even if it doesn't feel like it's a leap, that inch makes a difference.
Wow. And to caution everybody, and something Brené Brown speaks on is wearing armor. And we wear an armor to protect ourselves from pain. And when you're going through the sense of loneliness, you can perhaps lend yourself to anger or blame or a lot of internal emotions. And we wear this as armor and understanding, does this serve us or does this not serve us? So if you are feeling a sense of loneliness, if you are feeling a lack of connection, ask yourself, what armor are you wearing to protect yourself from pain?
Yes, that's so important, because looking at the armor I was putting on during this time was contributing to my loneliness. I was always that person who, if I was going through something that was hard or that was not pretty or good or positive, I felt like I had to retreat into myself, do the work on my own. And then once things were good and pretty and positive again, that's when I felt like I could rejoin the world, rejoin those relationships that I was in. And going through loss and really feeling this immense loneliness, I realized that's not a possibility here. I can't just wait until things look pretty again, because it's going to take a long time for me to get to that place. And if I sit by myself and do this alone, it's going to contribute to that loneliness on an extremely unhealthy level.
That's super strength right there. And when you go through trauma, if you've gone through trauma, the message you're telling yourself when you are protecting yourself, that is, if I take this armor off, I'm going to die. And it's understanding that. It's understanding that you are using these emotions to protect yourself. So first of all, Tia, your story is overwhelming. It is sad. It is joyful in the fact that we get to talk about your sister, Shelby, and how she has touched not only your life, but so many other people's lives. And even if you are feeling a sense of loneliness now, not only do you have your guardian angel, Shelby, with you, but you have a community and you have done the work before. And one quick question, just in terms of that community, that, and you've always had a large community of friends and family around you, and to feel disconnected with them 1,000%, even though you're going through the emotions, you're feeling different things. How are you rebuilding your community right now? And how does it feel to connect again with a community, whether it's new or old?
It can be really scary at first. It's a very vulnerable position to put yourself in, because you have to rebuild that connection by being honest and open about where you're at right now. And I was afraid on many levels to open up to my friends, the people who I've had in my past who've been there for many years. A lot of my friends I've known since middle school, but it was still scary to actually let them know how I'm doing, because I didn't want them to worry about me. In reality, they're going to be worrying about me at this time anyway, because losing Shelby it's just awful. It's not something that I ever saw coming, and it's not something I know how to live with yet. And letting them know about the things that I'm going through either at that time or that I've gone through after the fact, because sometimes it is easier to talk about something that you've gone through like even a week later, is what's helped me even just show up to our conversations again and be more present. And by really allowing them to sit with me and get uncomfortable together, because talking about this stuff, talking about being lonely, is never going to be comfortable for you or the person who wants to be with you. And so just seeing people and having that connection by opening up on a regular basis and just trying your best is really all you can do. And just reminding yourself, no matter how you show up today for this relationship, it is enough and that you can keep going because that person, the people who really matter, are going to be understanding. They're not going to bash you for whatever you're feeling or going through, or they're going to know that maybe today you're not going to respond to their text messages. Maybe today you are going to cancel plans, but they're not going to hold that against you because they're going to understand that it's much deeper than just them as a person.
Thank you, Tia. Thank you for this story. You guys love Tia as much as I do. And make sure you listen through these episodes. If you are suffering with grief or loneliness, please reach out. We will put some valuable tips and resources in our show notes and scroll back to an old episode with Heidi Dunstan as she spoke about grief. Tia is nodding her head because one thing she did say to me, she said, I did not know Heidi was talking to me, that episode was so valuable. It's not anything anyone wished, but just the language that Heidi gave us in terms of dealing with grief was powerful. And we'll talk about that later when we talk about grief and core emotions. Thank you, Tia. You know, I love you and everybody out here loves you and we support you. And I'm telling you, we're going to do something big in honor of your sister, Shelby Sandel. Until we meet again, obsessors, get obsessed with your life.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pod Tease, a production of The Mediacasters. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to discover your next binge-worthy favorite. For more information, visit our website, themediacasters.com, and follow us on social platforms at The Mediacasters.